Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave a vision to John in Revelation that begins like this. After I looked, there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which nobody could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and with holding palm branches in their hands. These are the words of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood has justified us, who's promised to glorify us, and whose eternal mansions in heaven will satisfy us, my dear Christian friends. As you get comfortable in your seats, I want you to pause and take inventory and think about this world, or as sometimes it's referred to, this veil of tears in which we live. What are the optics exactly of what's going on? Would you agree with me if I said the world is a dangerous place? Isn't it true that in the case of most of you, you grew up in a time where you didn't have to get screened before you went into a concert? Or you didn't have to empty out your pockets and put in your wallets and billfolds and keys and cell phones before you went into a game at the U of A? The world is a dangerous place. There's terrorists who are blowing up subways, who have infiltrated our own country. There are people who are shootings in schools and even a week ago in churches. The world is a dangerous place. Would you agree with me if I observed that the world looks pretty ugly right now? You know, it's like people can't even be civil with one another anymore. I don't know. I don't know that I'm really that old, middle-aged. But there was a time, at least in my life, when you could sit down with a coworker in the workplace and not be afraid that somebody's going to talk to human resources about some sort of thing that somebody said. There was a time when you could discuss matters and issues that are going on locally or nationally. And it wasn't just filled with rancor like the political discourse seems to be anymore. You want to talk about ugly? Hollywood, the people who have kind of self-professed or professed that they're kind of the conscience of our country. My goodness, everything that comes out of Hollywood, every story is more disgusting than the next. The world is a dangerous place. The world is ugly. And my concern for my own soul and my concern for your souls as your pastor is the great danger that not only are all these things bad and evil and terrible, but that the devil uses them on faithful folks like you and me to make us all self-righteous. That's right, Pastor. You preach it. The whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm just glad that in my life, I've never done anything quite as distasteful or disturbing as that Harvey Weinstein. You know me, Lord, like nobody else knows me. And I've had my fallings out, and you've had to call me on the carpet, touche. But I've never done anything so gross and disgusting as Kevin, what's his name, Spacey. We act and pretend as though our sins don't stink quite as bad as all the others. Doesn't the Bible say that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. And it's all shot full of bullet holes, and it's sinking to the bottom of the sea. Which means that everybody, whether you live in Hollywood or in Marana, and whether you're at home sleeping off your hangover from last night, or if you're in this chapel this morning, we all need Jesus Christ. Fortunately, our Savior Jesus Christ sees things that you don't and sees things that I don't. And he gave a vision to John about some things that if he hadn't told them to John, I don't know if anybody would have seen, at least not quite so clearly as this. Because what Jesus sees, you know, this vision that he sees in Revelation in verses 9 and 10 that we read just a little bit before, the hymn writer wrote the hymn, "Behold the host arrayed in white." Did you see what Jesus saw? The optics? You know what Jesus saw when he looked at the world? He saw a great multitude that nobody could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, and they're standing before the throne of God. You know who's numbered among that great multitude? You are! When Jesus gave this vision to John 2,000 years ago, 2 millennia ago, Jesus allowed John to see all the saints triumphant. Every one of them. Down into the future, and John, by God's grace, saw your face and mine and the saints of souls who are yet even to be born. And Jesus was redeeming them and bringing them out of the great tribulation and seating them before the throne of God. This morning we want to look at this vision from Revelation and see this hosts arrayed in white. They're justified and they're glorified and they're satisfied before the Lamb of God in heaven. The first thing that Jesus tells us is that this host in verse 9, they're wearing white robes. And they're holding palm branches in their hands. You know why the host is wearing white robes? Because that doesn't seem quite like the optics that we're used to seeing. The world's a dangerous place. The world's an ugly place. If anybody's going to wear any kind of robes, shouldn't they be black? Look, it's not as though Jesus doesn't understand what sin is. He was the one who came down from heaven in order to lay down his life for sin. Jesus understands perfectly well what sin is and how terrible it is, yours and mine and everybody else's. He was the one who felt every hammer blow and every sting and pain of sin. He was the one who was crucified and cursed under God's holy wrath and suffered the abandonment of God in hell. He knows full well what the pain of sin is. And yet Jesus dresses his saints triumphant in white robes. You know why? Because in verse 14, who are these saints? Who are these saints? He asks. These are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus Christ dies on the cross, he redeems us. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because Jesus took collectively the world's sins on his shoulders on the cross, he removes our sin and stain and guilt from us. And since we don't have any sins anymore, he dresses us and clothes us in these white robes of righteousness, indicative of the perfection that he gives to us through faith in Christ. He justifies us. He declares us innocent because he paid our price. The reason why these saints triumphant are wearing white robes is because their sins have been paid for in the blood of the Lamb and they have been perfected by Jesus Christ himself. The second thing that Jesus tells us about these saints triumphant is that they're glorified. You notice where they had been, and you notice where they are going. Actually, John asked the question, because John, the one who writes Revelation, is the one who's penning this down. And one of the elders asked John, who are these people in white robes and where they come from? And John said, sir, you know. And he told me, these are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation. They washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Do you know what the Bible means when he says they are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation? You don't have to give the answer because you know that I'm going to tell you next, right? The great tribulation is the time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. The first time Jesus came in the manger, the second time he's going to come in all glory. And that time, the New Testament time of great tribulation, the Bible says, is that time in which the world is going to get progressively worse. Jesus talked about it elsewhere, wars and rumors of wars, rampant apathy, troubles inside homes, signs in nature, earthquakes and floods and so forth. The great tribulation is going to be ended when Jesus Christ returns and stands on earth. And these people in white robes are they who through faith in Jesus have been justified and are coming out of the great tribulation and being glorified in heaven. In other words, they don't live on earth any longer. They're not subjected to the danger of the world. They're not subjected to the ugliness of the world because God's going to seat them in heaven in front of the throne of the Lamb of God. They're glorified. God glorifies them in heaven, a place that God describes so brilliantly that you can't even imagine in your wildest dreams how majestic and splendorous and spectacular heaven is going to be, because you dream your wildest dream, it'll even be better than that. So glorious is in heaven, these people are singing the praises of God. Salvation belongs to God who sits on his throne and to the Lamb. See, all these people who've been brought out of the great tribulation know exactly why they're there. They know that they didn't pay their price. God paid their price. They know that they didn't come out of the great tribulation without help. God's the one who delivered them from the great tribulation. Through Jesus Christ, who justified and forgave them, the reason why they're in heaven is because salvation belongs to God. God glorifies believers forever in heaven, and Jesus, because he sees the future and he sees your face, through faith in Jesus Christ, gives John a picture of you singing the praises of God in glory forever in heaven. Now, the third thing that Jesus tells us in his revelation to John is that the saints triumphant will be satisfied. Now, the reason we need to make this point is because there's a lot of people who think, and they even say this out loud, that heaven's going to be boring. And they're not, you know, just exactly sure that they want to go. What am I going to do in heaven? Am I going to, you know, float on a cloud? Am I going to strum on a harp? I'm just going to sing songs? I mean, this just seems insanely boring to so many people. Do you suppose that we could give the Almighty Creator and Redeemer and Sanctifier of all the earth credit for making heaven a much more magnificent place than what has been communicated to you and me in a Charmin commercial? Heaven is nothing but boring. Did you read or listen to what was spoken to us in these lessons? These people are satisfied. They don't have a care in the world. They're not stressed out because their lives are in grave dangers. They're not terrified because wherever they go, they might be shot, or because the world is such a rotten place, rotting in immorality. They're satisfied before the Lamb of God. And that begins in verse 15. They're before the throne of God, and they serve God day and night in his temple. They're occupied with meaningful acts of service to God in all of their justified glory. And he who sits on their throne will spread his tent over them. Do you see in which the way that the Lord God and Jesus Christ is going to protect all these people? They have no threats of danger. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. Not a care in the world. I don't have to get up every single morning and join the rat race. I got to go make an extra buck. I don't know if I'm going to have enough for retirement. You don't have a care in the world because they're satisfied in heaven. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, because God, the Lamb, is at the center of the throne, and he will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Folks, here is Jesus Christ, who has optics and sees things in the future that we can't see, and he shares them with us. He helps us understand that you, your souls, your faces are there, standing before the throne, justified and glorified and satisfied in the eternal mansions of heaven. But maybe it's helpful for us to understand just one more point. It's healthy and helpful and flattering and heartening and strengthening that God sees my soul and yours. But you realize who else God sees? People from every nation, tribe, people, and language on earth. The church and Christianity is worldwide. But even closer to home, you know who he sees? He sees mom and dad who died in faith, and grandma and grandpa. He sees brothers and sisters. He sees aunts and uncles. He sees neighbors. He sees people who used to sit in these very green pews who are next to you, who are already there singing the praises of God, justified and glorified already. You know who else is in that vision? Your kids and your grandkids in a generation that hasn't even yet been born.
Jesus gave the vision of the saints triumphant to John so that all of us, by virtue of this text, can see the way in which God will honor the promise that he makes that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And that is a great multitude that John says no one can count. I know then that you will join your hearts and souls together with me that says, Lord, this world has nothing to offer me. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come and take me home. Amen.